So this this passage comes just before Jesus is going to go to be crucified, and he's with his disciples and he's praying for them. And then he moves on to say these words: "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you've sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world doesn't know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I've made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love that you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading comes from Ephesians chapter 3 and starting at verse 14. "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Liz and Helen. Before we talk vision, I just was struck by our logo there that Paul has set to the background of the high wheeled of natural area of outstanding beauty, whatever you call it, ANOB. This wonderful kind of scene that we're set within that. And I pictured there you can see, I hope you can see the picture clearly enough, that on the bottom half of the picture, the mist is cleared. And on the top half of the picture, the mist is looking quite thick and heavy. And there's two ways you can interpret a picture like that. It could be that for you, you need the mist to clear, the mist of kind of, I don't know, whatever you're facing, whatever you're struggling, that you're just kind of struggling to see clearly and you want the mist to clear. But then you could also view the mist as the presence and glory of God, because whenever God's glory descends in Scripture, it's often as a cloud or as a heavy thickness or something like that. And this sense of actually the glory of God descending so much that all you can see is God. That whatever is happening around the world, whatever's happening in your own life, all you can see is God. And you may be here this morning in either of those two camps, and I think it's both and rather than either or, if that makes sense. That there's a sense in which we need the mist of our cloudiness of our life to disappear, but also where we need the presence of God to come down so that all we see is him. So we're just going to, before I speak, let's just invite the Holy Spirit to work amongst us. He knows what we each need this morning. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He's the one who formed us and made us. knows us and loves us. So we just pray, Holy Spirit, come. Would you meet our needs this morning? As we hear the sound of traffic rushing outside, but also the sound of birdsong, we pray, God, that we don't rush from this moment. Just as we wait, you may sense the fog lifting or the glory descending, whatever it is that you need right now. God, if there is anything that clouds our vision, we pray that you'd lift it as we speak about vision this morning. And if we need a greater vision of you, we pray that you would descend so that all we see is you this morning. In your name and for your praise and glory. Amen. So it's traditional for us at the start of the year to look at the year ahead and what we feel that God is saying our priorities need to be as a whole parish. As we gather together, we know we represent a number of different churches, and it's amazing to be able to say that I think for the first time in, certainly as far as I can work out, over 50 years, we have worship happening in all five of our villages on a regular basis. And that is an incredible thing to be able to say. When we launched the vision back in 2022, we thought it might take 5, 10, 15, 20 years to get there. And here we are just 3 years later, and God is already moving remarkably amongst us. And we're really grateful for that. And last year we had our three commitments, and we amazingly were able to make incredible headway on all of them. And the way that our vision has historically worked in the past, and the way that we sought vision, is towards the end of the year before, so around about October, November last year, a number of people are praying and seeking God as to what the vision may be. And sometimes God is just revealing things, because God loves to do that and just show us things that we need to see, opening our eyes to things that are already happening and helping us to focus in on one or two or three particular themes. And we tend to have a verse for the year, a verse that we set as our kind of cornerstone on which everything else comes from, that we keep coming back to and reminding ourselves of what God might be saying. This year, however, we're slightly bucking the trend and doing something slightly different. Explain that in a minute. But first, I want you to cast your mind back, those of you who are here, to the beginning of 2023. Now, that seems quite a long time ago now. And at the beginning of 2023, we launched what we called our Statement of Becoming, which hopefully we can probably find on the screen in a minute. Our Statement of Becoming says, "We are disciples of Jesus who joyfully seek to share God's love by honouring one another, being and building authentic Holy Spirit-led communities, and working for justice locally and in the world." Now, it's a mouthful. There's a lot there, but it was deliberate. And the whole purpose of that was to explain who we are and who we want to become. And we said when we launched that the success, in inverted commas, of Westworld is not going to be measured by numbers, because the success of any church should never really be measured by numbers. But actually, the success, in inverted commas, of our parish — I don't like the word success, that's why I keep putting it in inverted commas — but the fruitfulness of our parish is going to be measured in our growth of, depth of faith and understanding of Jesus, and our growth in relationships and all those kind of things. And so we I've been reflecting on that obviously since that day, and we have seen numerical growth, which is amazing. God has been working miracles and doing amazing things. But I wanted us this year to really focus on that understanding of what it means to grow and to seek to grow together as a wider parish, and to not measure that by numbers alone. Because I believe that if we are able to grow in the three areas we're going to look at today, then I think numerical growth will be a natural byproduct of that, because God is clearly moving in this nation. It's very, very clear that God is moving in this nation. We have this term of quiet revival, and people are just turning up at church. And the question for us is, if they turn up at one of our churches, what are they going to find? That's the question we need to ask ourselves, continuing on that theory of welcome home and what it means for us to be places that are a place of welcome, where it feels like home when you come into church. We want to continue that theme, but there's three areas where we want to focus and be really intentional about this year. And the first one was revealed to us around about October, November last year, when there seemed to be this real desire for us to pray more and more and more for unity. This passage from John 17 came to me quite regularly, and the theme of unity kept coming up. The importance of keeping unity within each church, the importance of keeping unity across our churches, but then also the importance of unity in the wider sense of the word with the wider church. It was at a time when obviously the Church of England was looking far from united, and it was a really difficult time prayerfully and personally as a vicar in the Church of England, and I was praying through some of those things. And this theme of unity kept coming back. And the wonderful thing about unity is it's kind of like a bit of a double-edged or two-sided coin, or however you view it, in the sense that where there is unity, God commands blessing, and where God is blessing, there is unity. So there's a sense in which unity is a work of God, as we see Jesus praying for unity in his prayer in John 17, praying that we would be one as he and the Father are one. That requires a miracle, that requires God to work. But there's also a part of unity that is about us being intentional about unity, about working for unity, praying for unity, believing for unity, and wanting unity amongst us and amongst each other. But unity cannot be born by committee. Unity cannot be born by a program or a structure or a certain way of doing things. Unity, true biblical unity, can only be born from friendship and relationship. So if we want true unity, we need to be investing in one another, loving one another, praying for one another, standing with one another, worshipping together, being united around the person of Jesus together. And we know that this is the will of God because Jesus prayed it himself. This is what he wanted more than anything else for his church, was that we would be one as he and the Father are one. As it goes on to say elsewhere, this is how the world will know you are my disciples, by how you love one another. You cannot love one another and not be united. Those two things just go hand in hand. And so we are sensing this call to really grow in love for one another. But also, as well as within our churches, wanting to seek unity in the wider sense of the church as well. And as this was beginning to happen, and as we were beginning to pray into these things, we then had that wonderful, wonderful partnership in December with our brothers and sisters at the Baptist Chapel up the road. And that has come about through friendship. Through meeting a few people in the chapel, getting to know them and to love them, Howard and his wonderful family, that has led to a wonderful partnership where we, as a Church of England church, were able to go to a Baptist church and say, hey, we've got some people who want to be baptized. Can we please borrow your baptistry? Them saying yes, but not only that, them welcoming us with open arms, coming to our service, being part of the baptisms up there, and then a week later, about 10 of us from St. Mary's worshipping with them for their outdoor carol service. It's been a wonderful picture of unity and partnership, and I believe what God has been hugely honouring, and we want to see more of. We want to develop that relationship and those with our wider churches around us. Unity is right at the heart of what we think God is calling us to this year. but unity not born by committee, but by genuine relationships with one another and our brothers and sisters in Christ. That then stretches, of course, into the nation and across the world, and our partnership with those that we mission, that we support in mission, and really developing those relationships as well and strengthening those. Now, I thought this year that was going to be our vision. We were just going to have one thing, and that one thing was just going to be unity. And I was praying into that and sharing that with the ministry support team and saying, this is our focus, this is our verse. And then about a week before Christmas, Rick sent me a message about something that he had been hearing from God that he wasn't sure was just, is this just for him personally, or is this for something a bit wider? And the moment I saw it, and the moment I read what Rick had said, I said, no, yeah, this, I believe this is for the whole parish. And actually, we're not going to have one verse this year. We're going to have three. So our first one is John 17, verse 22 to 23, which you've just heard read. And it says this. The glory that you have given me, says Jesus speaking, I have given to them, speaking of you and me, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me, loved them, even as you loved me. So those two verses from John are our first kind of section of the year, or first focus. But I'm going to ask Rick to come and share his heart and what God's been saying to him about the other one.
Good morning, everybody. Some of you won't know who I am. I'm Rick, and I'm part of the core leadership team at Woodgate. Well, I've been part of this church for parish for ages, but part of that core team that's started a missional community and meeting together once a month in Woodgate. And you're probably wondering why I'm holding a pot plant. And it's not just because I'm a gardener, it's like a security blanket for me, although it is. But I will explain as I go along. So yes, I guess for the 2 months prior to this, I've had this verse going round and round in my head from Ephesians 3, which Helen read out to us. And particular that phrase that has stuck with me, which is, and us being rooted and grounded, or rooted and established in love, in order that we would know how broad, how deep, how wide, and something else is the love of God, and that we would live out of the fullness of him who dwells in us. But that phrase, rooted and grounded, has just stuck with me. And I suppose it's formed the question in me, how rooted and grounded am I in the love of God? Because it is so foundational. So, illustration. We went on holiday last year, and I better not say to nobody's from the inland border security, are they? Because this is probably illegal. Anyway, I brought back a cutting from the place I went to on holiday. I might have brought back a cutting. And anybody who's a gardener, you know, you bring back cutting, you look after it. And then when you come home, you trim it up, you put it into the medium it's going to grow, put a plastic bag over it, and then you leave it. And what happens is that, well, if you're impatient like me, you come back every day and go, I can't see anything happening. But it usually takes 4, 8, 10 weeks, and you start to see some growth coming to it. But of course, that's not what actually is happening. Underneath the soil, you can't see what's happening on. The cutting is putting out these sort of baby roots, and that root structure is developing and growing, which is absolutely essential before that. I keep looking at Jan over there to see if I'm saying the right thing, to see whether before the plant can grow and put out roots and shoots. So root structure is so essential, and that's the picture from this, that we need to be as individuals and people rooted and established primarily in God's love. And that every year that those roots are going deeper and deeper into the Father's love for us. So whatever happens to us, and we don't know what's going to happen to us this year, success, whether that's failure, whether that's opposition, whether that's favor with people, whether that's sickness, whether it's health, whatever might happen in the world, there needs to be a foundation that we're constantly putting our roots into in the love of the Father, which is the foundation. So that when we're shaken, or whether we have the shaking, which is success, there's always that foundation of God's love. And so the invitation, I think, is not just that we are people who know the love of God, but this year that we're growing into it. And whatever that might look like, and there's different things that we've been talking about that we could do, the places that it hits in us where we ask the question, do I really feel loved? Am I really secure? Do I know what I'm worth? Do I know how much God has built in me in Christ? Those fundamental foundation questions could be ones that we pursue through this year.
Amen. So that second verse, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that being rooted and grounded in love, you may have strength to comprehend with the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. That we want to grow in our understanding of what that means, to truly know and be in relationship with Jesus. And however long we've known him, we can always know him better. And that's the desire, is that we want to commit to growing in that depth of understanding of him and who we are in him and who he's made us to be for him and for the sake of the world. So to grow in unity, to grow in understanding of and relationship with Jesus, and finally to grow in confidence in the gospel as good news. The word gospel literally means good news. So what I've written there is to grow in the good news as good news. Do you believe that it's good news? Do you believe that Jesus is good news? I remember once being in a church and everybody arrived and it was a miserable Sunday morning and it was raining and it was horrible and everybody arrived looking quite miserable. And the preacher said, "Do you believe we have good news?" And everyone went, "Yes." And he said, "Right, tell your face," which I thought was a bit rude. But actually this whole kind of sense that actually we have good news. We have the best news the world has ever known, that Jesus is alive, that he has risen from the dead, that he has died for our sins, that he has made a way to the Father. This is good news. And it's good news that the world is searching for and desperate for and hungry for. And we want to be confident that the news we have is good news worth sharing. It is worth sharing. And when in November we got together those people who preach regularly in all of our churches, we were trying to work out what sermon series we could be doing over the course of this year. We were trying to break up the year into different sections and to find different things we could be doing. We then discovered that the diocese is having this year as the year of Matthew's gospel. Over the next 4 years, they're taking one of each of the four gospels, and this year is the year of Matthew. Now, for the diocese, that means that the Lent course is all going to be based around Matthew, and they're encouraging people to think around Matthew. We thought, well, that's a great thing to do. But as we sat down and as we prayed about it, as we reflected, as we shared, as we thought about it, we thought, well, Lent's not enough. So we're actually going to be spending the entire year in Matthew's gospel this year. And you might hear that and think, oh my goodness, that feels pretty hard work. But actually, we've broken up into different themes over the course of the year. So we're looking at the Beatitudes, we're looking at the miracles, we're looking at the parables, we're looking at some of the things that Jesus did and some of the things that he said. Of course, the Sermon on the Mount as a significant part. Over the course of the year, we're going to take ourselves on a journey as a whole parish through the Gospel of Matthew, in different ways, in different contexts. So it might look very differently here to how it does at St. Mark's or St. Mary's or at the Hub. But we're going to be using this as an opportunity to grow in the confidence, not only of the good news of the gospel, but also of the kingdom of God, of what Matthew calls the kingdom of God. And Matthew's gospel is the best one for understanding the good news because of the detail that he goes into of Jesus preaching and teaching about these things. It is good news. Do we believe we have good news. And if we believe that, do we have confidence in that good news? Confidence to share it, confidence to grow in it. And so our verse, although it doesn't come from Matthew, is actually from 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says this, "But you, in your hearts, honour Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect." Hope is within you. The hope this world needs is within you. The hope this world is searching for is within you. And our hope and our prayer is that if people walk into any of our churches, that they will find that hope, that they will see that we have good news that has changed our lives from the inside out. It is good news that Jesus is alive, and this world needs to hear it. So we need to have confidence in it by journeying in Matthew together. It's our sincere hope that as we're intentional about these three things, that we will grow as people, that we'll grow in our understanding of him, in our depth with him, that we'll grow in our confidence of the good news, that we'll grow in unity. And into that, we believe and trust God will be inviting those who are searching for him. And that when they come, they will find a people who love one another and are united. A people who are desperate to know more about the Jesus they love and worship. And a people who are confident that what they have is good news. And that through that, they find him. The number of people in the New Testament who came to faith, not because they first encountered Jesus, but because they first encountered people who had encountered Jesus. And they saw that something about them was markedly different. That's our desire, that's our hope, is that something about us will be markedly different. Because in a world that's divided, we can be united. In a world that's all about the self, we can find that our true self is only found in him. And in a world that is fearful, we can be hopeful. Countercultural, if you will. As people come to our churches, what will they find? A people who are united, secure, and joyful. Therefore, through that, they will find Jesus. That's our vision for this year. We hope and pray you can give your yes and amen to it. We don't expect you to remember all of it. So this little vision booklet will come out to you by email this week. I do also have a few hard copies here as well, if you'd like to take one away. Do pray about it as it comes, as you receive that. Do pray about what your part in it might be. It may be that God's calling you or drawing you to one in particular, or to two, or to all three, but as areas you can grow in. But let's just pray briefly before we move on. Jesus, we thank you that your desire is for us to be one as you and the Father are one. We thank you that because you've made yourself known to us, we can have relationship with you. We pray that you'd help us to grow in our understanding of who you've made us to be, of what it means to be rooted and established in your love. And we pray that you would help us to grow in the confidence that we have good news to share, that Jesus is alive and the kingdom of heaven is near. Amen.